him to go forth out of the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness, and said unto their children in the wilderness, Walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am Yahweh your God, walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me, and they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbath, and then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. Because they had not executed my judgment, but had despised my statutes and polluted my Sabbath, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore, I gave them also statutes that were not good. And just...
This is By Yahweh's Design with Pastor Dan. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to By Yahweh's Design. I am Pastor Dan, your host for this one-hour live radio program coming to you over Heritage Broadcasting. You're also going to be coming over the satellites and the web, and of course our Paul Revere's for today, the FM rebroadcasters, and very shortly we hope to be coming to you over shortwave radio once again. We ask Yahweh to bless each and every one of you. First and foremost, we wish to dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was later surnamed Israel. For all good things come from Him, and we wish to give Him all the praise, the glory, and the honor for allowing us this opportunity to bring His truth to His holy remnant, the lost sheep of the house of Jacob, Israel, also known as the Caucasian or Aryan peoples of the earth. Hallelujah, Yahweh, all praise Yahweh in Hebrew. I am a two-seed line racial covenant identity teacher. I've been studying this truth for a number of years, and that study continues on a weekly basis. There's a severe famine for truth in this land today, and this program is our feeble attempt to try to rectify that. Before we get too much further in the program, I have asked Charisse to read a poem, if she would.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. The title of this poem is My Awakening. My awakening did not come as a lightning bolt from the blue, but as a thief in the night, it came unannounced. Was it different for you? Remember the 10 virgins with their oil and lamps? Only 5 were awake and aware. The others were careless. Foolish were they, for they did not prepare. If you do not seek, how do you expect to find? If you do not ask, how can He give you an answer? If you do not knock, why then should He open the door? Does anyone truly know just what we are looking for? Every day we are deceived in a game of cat and mouse. The beast is desperately trying to keep us from our Father's house. Some are awakened just by hearing the word. Some are on the verge of waking, for these have not yet heard. For some it is written upon their hearts, these have always known. Then there are those who need a 2x4 upside the head in order to be shown. So what will it be, dear children of Jacob Israel? You can't claim ignorance if you've heard these words. If you try, you could spend eternity in hell. Just listen closely to the word, or get smacked by a 2x4. Whatever it takes, be ready, dear friends, for He is coming on a charger for war. Thank you very much, Pastor Dan.
Thank you. And if you haven't guessed it by now, tonight's program is entitled My Awakening, and the very special guest that I'm going to introduce to you in just a few minutes is none other than David Duke. And if you watch much of the media, you should already know who he is, but I've got a little biography I'm going to read on him here in just a second. Before we get to that, I want to have you remember to keep Heritage Broadcasting System in your prayers and give them thoughtful consideration as far as a donation. It's not free, and it's not cheap, and it's awful hard in this day and age. And here we are, February 25th, year 2000. Again, tonight's program is My Awakening. I've named it that after the title of the book that was written by David Duke. And is David on yet?
Yes, I am.
Oh, welcome to the program, sir.
Well, I'm very glad to be here.
And
honored to be here, really. I think you do a great work.
Well, thank you, sir. And I was just about ready to compliment you on the book. I don't have the whole book. I have to admit that until the book shows up, I went ahead and went to your website and downloaded some of the chapters that you offer there. And I got to tell the audience that if they would just read the chapters on your website, that's quite an education.
Mm-hmm.
But if we take a few minutes here, I want to read your biography to the folks.
Okay.
Let's see. We got a Bachelor of Arts from LSU University in 1974.
In history, that's right.
And you won the ROTC, which is Reserve Officer Training Corps, Outstanding Basic Cadet Award at LSU out of a field of 3,000. And you achieved the highest rank possible for any basic cadet. You worked for the U.S. State Department in Laos during Vietnam, where you instructed anti-communist Laotian military officers. And you won there the Most Respected Instructor Award, also volunteered on missions with Air America to supply the anti-communist forces. Awarded a scholarship for studies at the Goethe, is that it?
Goethe.
Okay, Institute in Salzburg, Austria. You were appointed by Governor George Wallace as an honorary colonel in his state militia. Have been the recipient of over 35 patriotic awards, including the Patrick Henry Award from the World Anti-Communist Federation. You've lectured at universities in the United States and abroad, including Oxford and Cambridge in England, Harvard, USC, Vanderbilt, and many others. You became the national director of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan in 1974. And let's see, although this organization was completely legal and nonviolent, the press and public could not differentiate between your group and completely separate Klan organizations. Other so-called Klans conformed to a Hollywood-generated image of ignorance, hate, and violence. So in 1978, you resigned and formed the NAAWP, which is the National Association for the Advancement of White People. After his election to the House of Representatives in Louisiana, due to time constraints, you passed on the leadership of the NAAWP. Since that time, the NAAWP has undergone a series of leadership changes, internal struggles, and therefore at this time you're not associated or involved with the NAAWP. You published the Duke Report, an international newsletter of uncensored conservative commentary that defends the rights and heritage of people of European descent. Subscribers can now be found in every American state and every nation of the world where Europeans reside in significant numbers. You've been interviewed by a whole host of people I see here, Jesse Jackson, Carl Rowan, Larry King, Ben Bradley, Pat Buchanan, Barbara Walters, Candace Bergen, Peter Jennings, and I'll cut it short there, a whole host.
And now Pastor Dan.
Yes, and now Pastor Dan. And hopefully I'm going to be a little bit different than that other list.
Okay.
And let's see, you were elected in 1989 and served as a member of the House of Representatives and was a full participating member of the Republican Legislative Delegation,
mm-hmm.
and you served on the Health and Welfare and Judiciary Committees.
Correct.
You authored a landmark conservative legislation, House Bill 1013, the first anti-affirmative action challenge passed by a legislative body in America. I can believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You are currently a public elected Republican official and recently elected to chairmanship of the Republican Parish Executive Committee of the largest Republican parish in Louisiana, and that term runs from 1996 through 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite, you are currently the president of No Fear, National Organization for European American Rights.
That's right.
That's quite a resume.
I guess it is. I sometimes I feel like a lot older than my 49 years.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I'll tell you, now just, I would like to pretty much go down through, because your book is pretty much a history of how you've got to where you are today. If you don't mind, I would kind of like to just go down, like starting in chapter 4 with your transformation, et cetera, where you talk about your, you know, your youth in Louisiana and background, and just kind of fill the folks in how you came to the awakening, as the title talks about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we can start off just by the fact I was like so many other people. I was I had a very devout Christian background, and but I read a lot of liberal material. I read a great deal as a young man, and exceptionally now. I've been reading since I was 3 years old. In fact, I lived in Holland at one time. My parents were in The Hague, Netherlands. My father worked for Shell Oil Company at that time, and there's a lot of education in my family, and we started out reading young, and I read a lot, and the material that I mostly read was obviously liberal material, and I began to believe a lot of it. But I also had a great deal of time I spent in the beautiful wetlands around New Orleans. I spent a great deal of time outside, and I got a real appreciation for nature and the laws of nature, truly the laws of God that exist. And so I got a real healthy foundation in my life. And then later on, I was introduced to some ideas by Carlton Putnam, who wrote a book called Race and Reason, A Yankee View. Carlton Putnam was a very famous biographer. In fact, he did a very fine biography of Theodore Roosevelt, which was critically acclaimed. And he's also had a Delta Airlines at one time, which we all know. And Putnam simply said that forced integration was going to lead America to disaster, that it would destroy the fundamentals of our educational system, that would wreak havoc in our major cities, that would eventually increase our crime rates, welfare rates, other problems, and it would really cause a serious destruction of American principles. And Putnam, when I read the book, I didn't agree with Putnam at first, but I read his book, and I was impressed by his decency. He wasn't speaking hatred. He was just talking in reasonable tones, and he made a lot of sense. And he didn't truly change my mind, but he made me think about issues that I hadn't thought about before. And it began a transformation in my life where I came to realize that race was real, that race does exist, and racial differences exist, and that we people of European descent, we white people, have a right to preserve our heritage the same way that Jews work to preserve theirs, the same way that all the other minority groups work to preserve theirs. And that's basically how it began in my life. And as a young man, I always believed in standing up and telling the truth. I remember my Sunday school classes where my father was a teacher, and he used to always tell me, you know, if the crowd goes the wrong way, you've got an obligation to stand up and do what's right, even if it's unpopular.
Yes, I believe Pinky used to remind you of that also.
Yes, our black maid, our black housekeeper, who I was very close to, and of course she's been dead many years now.
Uh-huh.
And, but anyway, so I just delved into it. I came to believe these things, and I felt I had an obligation to stand up and talk about them, and it's really been the greatest focus of my life since really I was, say, 14, 15 years old.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's amazing today if you say anything pro-white, as you mentioned in your book, anything that's pro-white or if it says anything at all derogatory towards the Jew, it's automatically hate.
That's right.
It's racism if it's pro-white, and it's hate if it exposes any of the nefarious deeds of these people that are called Jews today.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get too much further in the program, would you mind giving out how folks could order the book and how much it is? Because I think it's an education that folks need to get.
Well, thank you so much. Actually, a lot of people told me that it's the most powerful exposure of the Jewish question in print today, and it certainly is very powerful, I think, on the race issue as well. And
oh, yes. In fact, I just finished two books. One of them is Anthology of Racial Issues by Weissman, which was it goes into the race issue quite a bit, and I saw where you make similar points in your book, only maybe a little bit more. And then another book, One Nation Under Israel, which deals with the Israeli lobby and the Israeli control of things, and then it's all kind of summed up in your book. So there's some great literature available if people want to avail themselves of it.
This book is 736 pages, and it's 1,000 footnotes, and so everything I see is well documented.
Oh, absolutely.
And I compartmentalize everything. In other words, I go into the race issue by issue, such as intelligence differences, heredity versus environment, different aspects of the racial question. And I also go into sexual differences in one chapter and show how this is basically created by genetics rather than culture, as our liberal feminists try to say. And then I go into the Jewish question, of course, and I investigate that from the ground up, and I show how the truth is that the biggest danger in the world is not so-called white supremacy. And I don't call myself a white supremacist because I don't want to oppress others. I just think we have the right to control our own affairs. But there is a real phenomenon called Jewish supremacy in the world, Jewish supremacism. how I refer to it.
Mm-hmm.
And which is trying to endeavor to control not only the nation of Israel, of course, and suppress the Palestinians, but and the Christians who live there as well, but really our own governments and our own way of life. I mean, the American Jewish Congress, for instance, was the primary force in taking Christmas carols out of our schools. Not only prayers, but even Christmas carols. Our traditions are under attack in America, and the American Jewish Congress has been the proud leaders of that. And they tend to control our government. They have a great control on our media. And the irony of the whole thing is that it's just, I guess it's a double standard. I've got something I just got faxed to me about 5 minutes ago. I had a friend of mine, who's my attorney, named James McPherson. And by the way, I didn't give you the book information. It's $25. I'm more interested in the information than in selling the book, to tell you the truth. But the book is $25. I'm discounting that $5 from the cover price. It's hardback. It's got a glossy dust jacket. It's got 1,000 footnotes. Good quality, thick paper, and well illustrated. And I'll be happy as well for any of the listeners of your program to send the book to them postage paid. So if they'd like to order the book, they can do it two ways. Actually, three ways. They can go directly through the mail and send $25 to Box 88 in Covington, Louisiana. That's Box 88, Covington, Louisiana, 70434. Or they can go to my website, which is daviddukes.com. That's daviddukes.com. And if they wish, they can call my office at 504-626-7714 and use a credit card and order the book that way and get the book very, very quickly. But the book's easy to get, and I think that everybody will really enjoy it. Even though it's a biography, it's basically a story of my awakening on the racial question and the Jewish question. And I compartmentalize these in different issues or different subjects in these questions. So it's a fantastic reference book, I think, for people. And people call it an encyclopedia on these questions, and I'm very proud of that description.
Oh, I agree. Again, I've only read about 6 or 7 chapters, but it's enough to tell me that, and from looking at the table of contents here, it's exactly everything you've said. In fact, I'll bear witness to the fact that a fellow I work with was asking me what I was reading, and I was reading, I printed out some of your pages,
mm-hmm.
and I was telling him what you were saying in the book, and his eyes lit up. In fact, he's from Alabama,
yeah.
And he says, well, does he footnote that? I said, sure does, and I gave him some footnotes, so he's going to run down to the library and check it out tomorrow, and I'm sure it won't be much longer, and he'll have a copy of your book.
What's interesting is that, like on the Jewish question, my footnotes are I'd say 80% from major Jewish sources. So, and I try, when I have a major quotation, I take it in bold print, and it stands out, and not just small, tiny print, in bold print, and I think those quotations and those sources really tell my story as well as I can tell it. Now, I have a long section of the book where I talk about my personal development and incidents of my life, which I think is very interesting. In fact, I have a chapter in India called My Indian Odyssey. A ghost from India, you know, haunts me still about some very interesting experiences I had in that country and how I learned about race and what this fight was all about when I was in India. And I've even had some English professors at some universities actually write me and ask me for permission to reprint the chapter and use in their English courses for English exposition, just to show how powerful writing can be. So I think people, not only will they enjoy the facts and the information, but I think they'll enjoy the way it's written as well, and I think they'll find it a very interesting book.
Oh, I believe that 100%. So, again, it's $25 postpaid, and there's three ways to order it. Real quick here, David, if you don't mind, I want to give the call-in number in case anybody has a question. Tonight, the call-in number is 877-570-3733, and that is toll free.
If you don't mind,
yeah.
And it's your show, and you can handle any way you want. I got a fantastic quote from the Washington Times. I just faxed it to my attorney. I talked about it with him earlier this evening.
Uh-huh.
But I think this quotation that I can give you from the Washington Times will be an amazing quotation, which will make some of the points we want to make here in this program as well as anything that I could possibly make myself.
Certainly.
And let me read this to yourself and the audience. I think you're going to find it really fascinating. This is from the Washington Times, January 17, 2001. And this is how it goes. Charles Bronson of Seagram's Company and Wall Street millionaire Michael Steinhardt have founded an organization called birthright. Of course, by the way, Charles Bronson, one of the heads of the World Zionist Organization, the people that extorted many billions of dollars from Israel, Switzerland recently. Anyway, he's one of the leading Jewish activists in the world, probably the most powerful one in the world.
Now, I'm on the radio. You got to handle that.
Okay. So I'm sorry. Excuse me. Really, my staff from is already calling, I think, for the book. So, okay, here's how it goes. Michael, Charles Bronfman of Secret & Company, Wall Street millionaire Michael Steinhardt, have founded an organization called Birthright, which has already raised $210 million to sell Jewishness to Jews and persuade them to marry each other. Its main activity is bringing diaspora Jews to Israel, go on tours, courses, and everything from Jewish sex to Jewish business opportunities. In January, Birthright flew no fewer than 6,000 young Jews to Israel, 4,000 North America, and 2,000 from Europe, the former Soviet Union, and South America. Any young Jew who has never been to Israel was eligible for the 10-day all-expenses-paid trip. Applications were chosen by lottery. Mr. Bronfman, who explains that the program's success will be judged by whether it reduces intermarriage, says, quote, "I'm trying to make Jews. You can live a perfectly decent life not being Jewish, but I think you're losing a lot, losing the kind of feeling you have when you know throughout the world there are people who somehow or other have the same kind of DNA that you have." Of course, last we heard, Judaism was supposed to be a religion rather than a sub-race, but never mind. People certainly do care whether friends and neighbors have DNA similar to their own. No doubt Mr. Bronfman will now understand why Georg Haider and so many other Austrians want to keep Austria Austrian. And that's from Lee Hochsteller, Selling Judaism, from the Washington Times, January 17, 2001. So here's some of the leading, most powerful Jews in the world, telling Jews that the Jews share a common DNA, knows that they are a heritage and a people, and trying to prevent intermarriage. But at the same time, as we know, these liberal Jews are the chief proponents through the Hollywood media and through our government trying to encourage integration and mixture for non-Jewish people of European descent. And I think that's just an amazing article, and that article, I think, says a lot as to what's really going on in this world.
Well, they're criminal geniuses. they understand divide and conquer, and that's exactly what they're doing. See, I believe you mentioned it in your book, but the mentality of these people is that they should rule the world.
Mm-hmm.
And all they got to do, folks, if they just read your book, and there's all kinds of resources out there, many of them from themselves, that say exactly what you're saying in this book, that is their mindset. And the problem is today, these so-called Judeo-Christians have been totally deceived,
right,
because of the Jewish influence in the seminaries, etc., and the fact that most ministers and pastors today have absolutely no backbone. They're jellyfish, and they're told what they can talk about. And myself, I question their actual relationship with the Father. As one Baptist minister I talked to one time, or he was a young kid about ready to be ordained as a Southern Baptist minister, I said, "Well, would you mind telling me why you want to be a minister, a Baptist minister?" He said, "Well, they have the best pay and best retirement."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "You know, that's quite a calling." So the problem is that we've got so many of our people, our Christian European people here.
You're fading a little bit. I can't hear you very well.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. It just kind of went down.
They don't understand that these people exist and that they are, you know, they are the antagonists to the white Christian republic known as America.
What you were saying is so true. And if you look, actually read, for instance, the New Testament, it's very, very clear. It says things. I'll give an example here from 1 Thessalonians 2:14-16, and I'll give you the exact quote. It says, "For you suffered like things of your own race, of your own countrymen, as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove us out, and displeased God, and opposed all men, but God's wrath has come upon them at last." I mean, if that was said by anybody else, that would be considered, quote, anti-Semitic.
Right.
That's simply from the Holy Scripture in the New Testament, and there's many other quotes like that. I mean, the most common phrase in the New Testament is a phrase called fear of the Jews in terms of the Jewish persecution that existed of the early Christians.
Oh, absolutely.
And yet we have so many of these preachers, as you say today, who preach that we have some sort of covenant with the Jews today, and when the truth is, of course, Christ said very well that the covenant is with those that accept Christ, not with those who with those who reject Christ.
Right.
And the Jews, of course, as a group, have rejected Christ. In fact, Israel, the state of Israel, does not even allow a quotation from the New Testament in their schools. And in fact, they have a Jewish-run state. So when we give money to Israel, we are, in effect, supporting Jewish religious schools. And, of course, in this country, we can't take our tax money and support Christian schools, obviously. I mean, the double standards are enormous.
Oh, yeah, double standards and a tremendous amount of hypocrisy.
Oh, unbelievable. And it's so ironic, and people don't even realize what the Jews teach about Christ. I mean, I give an example from the Talmud. The Jews use the term Balaam as the term for Jesus. And by the way, I can document that from the Jewish Encyclopedia, which says specifically that Balaam is the name that the Jews use for Christ. Mm-hmm. And from the Talmud, from the Sanhedrin 105a, for instance, it said Balaam, Jesus, fornicated with a jackass. They also say, and here's another quote from 57 Gittin A, the Jewish priest raised Jesus from the dead and punished him in boiling hot semen. I mean, the hatred and the viciousness of the Jewish religion toward Christianity is incredible. Yet a lot of people out there, in fact, when I was in school, I remember I was told when I started learning about the Jews, they would say, well, the Jews, they think Christ was a prophet. They just don't accept him as the Messiah. When the truth is that the Jewish religion, in the very depths of the Jewish religion, they curse Christ. In fact, the Talmud doesn't even say the Romans crucified Christ. They say they themselves crucified him, and they gave him, in fact, what they call four deaths of stoning and hanging and fire and strangulation. And it's kind of really amazing when someone gets into this stuff and really learns the truth about these realities.
Absolutely. Now, David, we got to take a short break.
Sure.
So hold your thought there, and folks, stay tuned, and we'll be right back with My Awakening and the guest, David Duke, in just a few minutes.
Not so many years ago, men and women were having children into their 80s and living what we would consider extremely long lives. Since then, we have turned our air to filth, our water toxic, and completely depleted our grounds of all vitamins and minerals. Our fresh foods look good but have no substance, and processed foods are pumped full of synthetic vitamins and minerals that our bodies won't absorb. But there are ways of coping with these problems, and Salt Box Herbs has the answers. From the micro water machine that will detox and balance the pH levels of your body to the Qi machine that gives your body the perfect exercise, natural vitamins and minerals your body will use, cleansing and healing regimens that will keep you healthy. Saltbox Herbs, the healthy alternative that you can afford and your body can live with. Call Dr. Judy at 724-639-9607. That's 724-639-9607.
Around the world, this is HBS, the Heritage Broadcast System.
Do we have a deal for you? We have three different plastic bumper stickers you'll love. Just send us a large, three-stamped, self-addressed envelope and four federal dollars or three NORFED American Liberty dollars to Heritage Broadcasting, 4904 Tippecanoe, TIPPECANOE Drive, Evansville, Indiana, 47715.
You're on the night side with HBS, the Heritage Broadcast System. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Welcome back to By Yahweh's Design with Pastor Dan. And now here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Hey, welcome back again tonight. The title of our program is My Awakening, and it's dedicated to the title of the book written by David Duke, who is our guest tonight. And we've got a couple callers, David. First of all, we've got Mr. X from Nevada. Mr. X, welcome to the program.
Hello, Well, thank you, and Yahweh bless both you and David Duke.
Thank you, sir.
What am I going to do?
Good. It's I just wanted to say, because I know you have other callers, that it's a pleasure to hear you on the radio. You do great work. I love how your approach is very analytical to opening our people's eyes up about the Jew. To me, there's obviously no question about the Jew question. They're the satanic seed line from Genesis 3:15. And you're right that they always talk out of both sides of their mouth, where they say that they are both a chosen people, and then on the other hand, they say, well, we're all equal.
Right.
They never stop lying. They're the greatest liars and thieves that this world has ever made.
Yeah, well, I have a quotation in my book, in fact, from the Jewish supremacism chapter, from Ben Gurion, who was considered, you know, the George Washington of Israel.
Sure.
And I have a quotation quite out of Reform Judaism magazine. I'll just give you the very short quote here. And he points out that here's the guy that founded Israel, how he's basically, you know, against God, and he believes in Jewish moral intellectual superiority. In fact, I'll quote him. Quote, my concept, this is quoting Ben Gurion now, the guy that founded Israel, my concept of the messianic ideal and vision is not a metaphysical one, in other words, not of God, but a social, cultural, moral one. I believe in our moral and intellectual superiority. This belief of mine is based on my knowledge of the Jewish people and not some mystical faith. The glory of the divine presence is within us, in our hearts, and not outside of us. So here's the head of Israel basically saying, the founder of Israel basically saying, he doesn't really believe in God. He believes that they are gods themselves, the Jews, and that they are superior, intellectually and morally superior people. Now imagine for a moment if President Clinton tomorrow got up and said, I believe in the moral and intellectual superiority of the white race. He would be impeached if he said that.
Oh, the new media would be aflame for weeks.
Right, but you can have the man who founds Israel say these things and then get by with just complete impunity because of the total double standard. Of course, if one understands that the Jews dominate our media, that's why they're able to get away with this complete hypocrisy and double standard.
Sure.
And I don't hate them. I understand why Jews fight for their heritage. I mean, they have a right to do that. But obviously we've got a right as well to defend our own heritage and our beautiful culture and our way of life. And if we don't begin to act intelligently, we're really going to face genocide. In other words, genocide is described as the destruction of our genes, the destruction of our heritage, and that's precisely what's going on today. The massive immigration into this country, which again has been sponsored by organized Jewry. In fact, the American Jewish Congress, and I have many quotations in my book in a chapter called Jewish-Led Invasion, I point out and I prove to any reader that the Jews have been the leaders of the effort to make white Americans a minority in this country. They have led this effort all the way from the turn of the century and all the way through the present day. They were the chief antagonists in trying to change the old immigration law and get the 1965 Immigration Reform Act through, which has now opened our borders to the chaff and swill of the third world. And they have led this specifically. And, of course, again, ironically, at the same time, the Jewish media and the Jewish organizations in this country have supported Israel, which has one of the toughest, you know, immigration laws in the world, where they allow only people of Jewish descent to immigrate. So we have a tremendously double standard, and it's about time we stand up against it, or we will cease to exist as a people and as a heritage.
You're exactly right, and the reason why the Jewish-controlled media supports Israel is because, again, it's all Jewish-owned.
Right.
For the folks out there that don't believe this, they have to do nothing but to look forward to the Jewish writings themselves, like you described in the Talmud, all over the Internet, which is why they're trying to shut it down, are them quoting, when they quote to each other, they know exactly who they are.
Sure.
The Arabs know who they are. The Christian identity people, 2C-line version, know exactly who the Jew is. And there's 3 witnesses, and you only need 2.
Well, I tell you, I've got in fact, quotations in my book from major Jewish sources. For instance, I have a quotation from the Jewish author Neil Gabler, who wrote a book made talking about the Jewish takeover, and I have a quotation which I'll share with you and your listeners right now. They said, quote, this is what they're talking about the Jews here. He talks about the Jews, and he says, quote, they created their own America, an America which is not the real America, but ultimately the shadow America becomes so popular and so widely disseminated that its images and its values come to devour the real America. And so the grand irony of all Hollywood is that Americans come to define themselves by the shadow of America that was created by the Eastern European Jewish immigrants who weren't permitted in the precincts of the real America. So here you have a major Jewish film critic admitting the fact that they changed the whole basis of this country through their Jewish Hollywood.
Exactly. And there, if anybody was to look at and study the people and the principles that they put in at the founding of this country, and what the Jew-controlled government now is trying to put forward, they'll see it's completely opposite, so it's completely un-Christian, which means it's satanic, pure and simple.
Right.
I'll let you guys go because I know you have more callers. Mr. Duke, Yahweh bless you. I would like to get an autographed copy of your book.
Well, I tell you, anybody who orders the book through this program, I will definitely sign the books, personally sign them, and I definitely appreciate your call. Your support.
Thank you very much. And Pastor Dan, keep up the good work, and Yahweh bless you as always.
Yep, Yahweh bless, and thanks for being on the program.
My pleasure.
All righty, take care. And the next caller is Bruce from Michigan. Bruce, are you on?
Yep, I'm on, Dan.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I'm just going to make a question for David.
Yes.
And hope that he can hear me because I can't hardly hear you guys. But in any of your research, David, have you come across where the Jews know that they are the seed of Satan, that they are the offspring of Cain? Have you discovered any of that in your research?
Well, I've discovered some things that indicate that. I mean, there's
sons and daughters of Satan.
There have been Jews, of course, who've written about, for instance, the Khazar Empire and things of that nature. But the Jews, definitely, I think most Jews, and they have deluded themselves, but I think most Jews want to think of themselves that they are the true children of God. I mean, that's basically what they think. But, of course, obviously they have worked against the teachings of God at every turn, and they've worked against our European heritage at every turn. So, you know, I think, generally speaking, there's a delusion going on there, but I think they want to think that they are. In fact, I have an interesting, to show the hypocrisy, too, to get back to another subject of the previous caller and we were talking about earlier. From out of chapter 18 of my book, Jews, Communism, and Civil Rights, I compare some of the hypocrisies that exist. And I talk about the dualism between what Jews preach for everyone else and what they preach for themselves. And so this, I ask these questions. If this dualism didn't exist for Jews, this hypocrisy, then how could it be that, quote, they support the nation of Israel, which promotes Judaism in its schools, while opposing even the singing of Christmas carols in American public schools. That the Jews in this country support the nation of Israel, which is strictly segregated schools, communities, and facilities for Jews and Arabs, while condemning segregated schools and housing in America and South Africa. That they support the nation of Israel with the restricted Jews-only immigration laws, while subverting American attempts to curtail even illegal immigration. But they support the nation of Israel, which allows every Jewish citizen to carry a submachine gun, if desired, while advocating strict gun control for American citizens. But they support the nation of Israel, which openly states its mission is to preserve the Jewish people and heritage, while condemning whites who would dare to advocate the preservation of the white race and Western culture in America. And finally, who always paint the historic relations between Jews and Gentiles as the Gentiles as evildoers and the Jews as innocent victims, while condemning white people for even defending themselves from such Jewish depiction. So there is a tremendous hypocrisy there.
Well, isn't it true that that's communism and this communism is Jewish?
Well, there's no question about that, and I think I have the best synopsis on that issue that's, I think, been put in print. At least people told me that. I was just in Russia, and the anti-Zionists there want to reprint my book in that country. And they said my chapter on the called the Jewish Question, which outlines their takeover of Russia. They said it was the most powerful chapter they've ever read, detailing and showing how the Jews took over Russia and took over Russia through communism. And in my book, of course, one of the many good quotes I have comes from the National Archives, where they show that as the first major Russian communist government, that there were 384 commissars. And of that number, that there were only 13 ethnic Russians and more than 300 Jews. So the first great communist government of Russia, the so-called Russian Revolution, had only 13 ethnic Russians in it. It was basically a takeover of the Jews against a very old enemy, the Russian people and the Tsars, who they considered anti-Semitic. It was the fruition of a long conflict between the Jews and the Russians. And of course, I document this. I even document it with a quotation out of the National Geographic, of all things, where they talk about the Jewish Revolution. I'll quote that to you, too. It's under the Vengeance of the Jews. This is from 1907, National Geographic. And, of course, there were many different revolutionary movements at that time in Russia. And they say, quote, "The revolutionary leaders of communism nearly all belong to the Jewish race, and the most effective revolutionary agency is the Jewish Bund. The government has suffered more from that race than from all its other subjects combined. Whenever a desperate deed is committed, it is always done by a Jew, and there is scarcely one loyal member of that race in the entire empire." Now, that's not David Duke speaking. It's not some so-called radical right-winger. That's the National Geographic magazine. I also quote from the Jewish Chronicle. I quote from Winston Churchill. I also quote from the American ambassador in Russia at the time, which he also says, quote, and I'll quote him, that's David Francis. He was ambassador to Russia at the time of the revolution. He said, "The Bolshevik leaders here, most of whom are Jews and 90% of whom are returned exiles, care little for Russia or any other country, but are internationalists and they're trying to start a worldwide social revolution." So there you go. I mean, everywhere you turn, our history is being perverted. We don't even learn. We don't even know that the Russian Revolution wasn't Russian.
Well, David, I have a question for you.
Yes.
And that is, what do you believe the percentage of Jews are in the administration in Washington, D.C.? And I'm going to leave with that.
Well, I've seen different figures. You know, I would think, of course, there's a lot of government people who are employed, but in terms of top positions, I think it runs somewhere around between 20 and 25%. In the highest positions, though, the Jews really dominate. For instance, Secretary of State is Madeleine Albright, is Jewish. Treasury is a Jewish person. Secretary of Defense is Cohen, who's Jewish. CIA chief is Jewish. Head of National Security Council, Samuel Berger, is Jewish. In terms of economics, we, of course, Greenspan. I mean, we can go on and on. And they really seem to control all the critical levels of our government. And, in fact, to show you how much, and I point this out in a chapter in my book, In Their Political Influence, to show you kind of who runs the government, it's interesting to see who our ambassadors are around the world. And believe it or not, the Jews dominate our ambassadorships from this country, say, to Europe, as if this was a Jewish country rather than a Christian country. For instance, the French ambassador, Felix Roten, is Jewish. Belgium is Kornblum Jewish. Germany is Blinken Jewish. Denmark is Elfin Jewish. Norway is Hemlin Jewish. Sweden is Siebert Jewish. Switzerland is Kunin Jewish. Poland is Fried Jewish. Hungary is Blinken Jewish. Romania is Moses Jewish. And, you know, you can go on and on. In North America, Mexico is Jeffrey Davido, who's Jewish. Canada is Gordon Griffin, who's Jewish. And the Cuban, not ambassador, but the representative for Cuba, is diplomat Michael Kozak, who's Jewish. So, I mean, even the representatives sent out by our government to the rest of the world aren't even truly American Christians. They're really people who have loyalty to Israel first.
Well, thanks, David. Thanks for answering my questions. And
my book, by the way, has all those documented points, and I also have footnotes, and I also have quotations from Jewish newspapers and so forth. In fact, I'll give you one last quotation there which makes the point. This is from a leading Jewish newspaper in Israel called Mariv, and I'll just quote it to you. And they say, quote, "The United States has no longer a government of Goyim, but an administration in which the Jews are full partners in decision-making at all levels. Perhaps the aspects of the Jewish religious law connected with the term government of Goyim should be reexamined, since it's an outdated term in the United States." So that's the largest newspaper in Israel from a major column called The Jews Who Run Clinton's Court, where they talk about the fact that the government of the United States is no longer a government of Christians, but it's a government of Jews. I mean, that's in their own words. I mean, what more do I have to say to convince people? I can document that. They can get my book, and they'll have the documentation right there for you, and they can check it out themselves.
Well, thanks, David.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thanks, Bruce, and Yahweh bless. David, a couple things while you were talking there. First of all, their use of the word partner is a misnomer. They control, they dominate. There's no such thing as a partnership.
No, that's correct.
In this government. The other thing, when you were talking about these reptiles, as I call them, hideous reptiles, being behind our immigration, I was just informed of a friend of mine that watches TV, because I don't watch it, so people have to tell me what's on it, but he said Greenspan was on television talking about how he feels it's necessary to contact the INS to further loosen up our borders to bring in more immigrants to the workforce in order to cool this economy. So once again, they control the economy because they control our money. They've done that for years. So they create a situation and then claim this situation will necessitate a further influx of more of these immigrants.
Sure.
Knowing full well what it's going to do to our society. I mean, history, anybody that studies history, as you point out in your book, when you begin to bring in these foreign entities into your country, you cease to be a nation.
Sure.
And your demise is only so much time away.
Well, in a so-called democracy, when you're outnumbered and outvoted, obviously your principles and your values will be sublimated to the people who are the majority. And right now, if the non-white people were a majority of America, we'd have a president more like Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton type. And, I mean, that's where we're headed. We'd have massive gun control. These black groups, for instance, are opposed to, and Mexican-American groups, are opposed to the death penalty. They want to weaken law enforcement. They want to let the people out of the prisons in America. They want to take away your right to keep and bear arms, as I said. It's just amazing. And now they're starting to preach reparations, and I can guarantee you when we're a minority, they will pass legislation to physically take away the property and the wealth of the American people, the European people, and literally give it to blacks and other minorities. So this is all going on, and by the way, concerning the Jewish work, I've got a quotation here by Earl Robb, a Jewish leader. He's the director of the Institute of Jewish Advocacy, an associate of the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League of Nabareth, and I'll give you a quote to show you how they've led the immigration. Quote, "It was only after World War II that immigration law was drastically changed to eliminate such discrimination. In one of the first places of evidence of its political coming of age, the Jewish community has a leadership role in affecting those changes." In other words, they admit and talk about the fact that they have changed their immigration law, that they've done this purposefully to make European Christians a minority in our own country.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's time to get rid of them, tell you the truth. It's time to drive them either into the ocean or back over where they belong in that little litter box in the Mideast. They've taken over so much. I wanted to remind the audience that Alan Dershowitz...
But let me tell you something. I'm not talking about driving them into the ocean. What I'm saying to people, not even advocating that, what I'm saying to them, we're being driven. And one day we will be driven into the ocean. We've already been driven from our major cities. We've been driven from many of our schools. People talk about, like, the Civil Rights Act, about how wonderful it was that blacks had the right to sit next to white children in schools. And you can compare that to today, that many white people in this country can't even use the schools. I mean, they don't even dare send their children to public schools because of the filth, the violence, the educational mediocrity that exists there. I mean, a lot of parents don't want to send their little girls and boys to schools where gangster rap is dominant, where Kwanzaa is preached and teached rather than Christmas, you know, where the values of our, where they're not even liable to come home safe and sound. We've been driven from many institutions that our own taxes have paid for, we've created. So, I mean, I'm not trying to drive the Jews into the sea. I don't want to hurt Jews, but I want to preserve my heritage in this country. And unless we start standing up to this Jewish power and this Jewish supremacy, we will lose everything that's dear and important to us.
Well, as you point out in your book, the NAACP is actually was founded by and has always been controlled by Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, did you know La Raza is also controlled by the Jews?
That's right. The head of the La Raza is, in fact, of Jewish descent. That's correct.
Right. So they're controlling both the blacks and the Hispanics and rousing them. They've said in their writings that they are the world's revolutionaries.
And they have a tendency to control everyone. In fact, I'm kind of concerned about Petra Buchanan right now. The other day I said that I might support Buchanan for president, and the head of his Petra Buchanan's communications for his campaign, some Rosenberg or Rosenblatt, said, we don't want David Duke as part of our campaign. It's amazing that they don't want me as part of it, but they want Ms. Filani. I mean, it's just crazy if a communist black leader. I'm really worried. I think I'm going to vote for Buchanan because we need to shake up the two-party system, and I think Buchanan has some good points in some issues. He's the only one that stood up to Israel, but I see a lot of seeds of problem even in the Buchanan campaign. I think it's a good step forward, but I'm really concerned about some of the people that he has around him.
Well, as Pastor Wickstrom and Colonel Farrell pointed out in their program, Joseph McCarthy was right online. He's being vindicated even now with a lot of information that's come out. But one drastic mistake that Mr. McCarthy made is he had Jews as part of his advisory team around him.
Exactly, Mr. Shine and Mr. Cohn.
Yes, and that was...
And Roy Cohn was one of the most vicious, weird, homosexual, Jewish, Marxists that's ever walked foot in this country, one of the sickest individuals that's ever been. This is McCarthy's right-hand man, and these were the ones who set McCarthy up for his fall in the Senate hearings.
Right. So the point of it is you can't trust, they don't belong around us. We should separate ourselves from on many grounds. Christ called them liars, thieves, and destroyers in John chapter 8. He said, you're of your father, the devil, which is an adversary. And who is the greatest adversary of peace and prosperity, and certainly the greatest adversary of the white Christian race, mm-hmm. other than Jews?
There's been no single force on this planet that has worked more to destroy white Christian heritage. Now, you can go to South Africa, you can go to Europe today and see what's going on, you can go to what the terrible Holocaust that existed in the Soviet Union under Jewish leadership. I have in front of me, in fact, I just got another copy of it. I just came back from New Jersey. And I was in North Carolina fighting the immigration issue. A small little town called Salwar City is now being taken over by Mexicans. In North Carolina, of all places, not the Southwest, but North Carolina. And the people can't use their schools and everything else. But I picked up a copy in the airport. They had some used books. I picked up a copy of Gulag Archipelago 2, which is Solzhenitsyn's magnificent book on the Soviet death camps. And Solzhenitsyn, and I think it's page 120 or so, has a picture of the six top administrators of the Soviet death camps that existed in the communist Soviet Union, and of the six top administrators, all the ones he pictured, you go to Franco Berman, were all Rappaport. They were all Jews, and so I think that it's just amazing. Everything they tend to claim that Christians do to Jews, they do against us 10 times greater.
Absolutely.
And we don't even know, and we're not even aware of what's happening. Because the Jewish media so corrupts and so distorts the reality of our lives.
Well, personally, my observation is that one of our greatest problems is that we have a huge number of our people who are so brainwashed and so addicted. I call it an addiction for video and TV. Anything that goes in through the eyeballs, they have this addiction for it. And the Jew's no dummy. He knows that if he panders to our vices, that's the way into our souls, and then he can get away with all this propagandizing that he does.
Well, like the other day, they had this thing on Thomas Jefferson, which was in Tyler Jewish production, alleging a love affair with Sally Hemings, and I saw the commercials with Thomas Jefferson on his knees saying, Sally, I can't help myself, I love you, but I do, or whatever. And the truth is now the Jewish media and all the advertisers of the show, they said that there's no question the DNA has proven that Thomas Jefferson fathered children by Sally Hemings, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Oh, absolutely.
In fact, they first said this in the first report, one of the reports that came out, and then they came back a month, the next issue of Nature, where the first report came out, and they said, well, that's not really correct. you know, it's certainly possible. This does not prove Jefferson fathered any children by Sally Hemings, but they're just throwing garbage in our founding fathers, and they're just distorting our entire history, and it's just disgusting to me. You know, if Jefferson would have fathered this last child, Eaton Hemings, by Sally Hemings, he would have been almost 70 years old at the time, and this was after his political enemies had tried to slander him by alleging that he was with Sally Hemings, or that he had children by Sally Hemings. So we know he didn't father any earlier children. And to think that Thomas Jefferson would go ahead and have such relations with this woman after he endured this terrible slander against him, that's beyond the realm of possibility.
Absolutely.
So the whole story is ridiculous, but that's the kind of garbage that the Jewish Hollywood media is feeding our children. They're not going to put stories out slandering their Jewish leaders, I can tell you that.
Oh, no. David, unfortunately, we're at the end of the hour. So I'm going to thank you immensely for coming on and sharing this information with us, and wish you the best of fortunes with your rabble-rousing with these...
Well, good, and I look forward to your listeners out there. I love everybody. I appreciate your support, and I appreciate you helping me spread this book across the world. It's a bestseller now, and this book, if we get enough hands in America, will solve this problem. And again, people can write to me, David Duke, Box 88 in Covington, Louisiana, Covington, Louisiana, 70434, or they can go to my website, davidduke.com, and they can call my office, of course, 504-626-7714. And don't forget, they can join the National Organization for European American Rights, N-O-F-E-A-R, and we'd love to have them join and get involved in preserving our heritage and way of life.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Take care.
You're
God bless. Okay, folks, that's it for tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, it was My Awakening with David Duke on 25th of February, 2000. And Yahweh willing, we'll be back with you next week with Elliot Germain and talking about his book, Western Man, Alpha to Omega. Take care. Yahweh bless one and all.
We are foolish. We'll continue as if nothing ever changes. We work from our birth.